Part B. You will hear a lecture on movie making. Answer questions 6 to 10 while you listen. Use not more than 5 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the questions.
Today I would like to talk about the early days of movie making in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Before the pioneering films of D.W. Griffiths, filmmakers were limited by several misguided conventions of the era. According to one, the camera was always fixed at a viewpoint corresponding to that of the spectator in the theater, a position now known as the long shot. It was another convention that the position of the camera never changed in the middle of a scene. In last week's film, we saw how Griffith ignored both these limiting conventions and brought the camera closer to the actor. This shot, now known as the full shot, was considered revolutionary at the time. For Love of Gold was the name of the film in which we saw the first use of the full shot. After progressing from the long shot to the full shot, the next logical step for Griffith was to bring in the camera still closer in what is now called the close-up. The close-up had been used before, though only rarely and merely as a visual stunt. As, for example, in Edwin Espotter's The Great Train Robbery, which was made in 1903. But not until 1908, in Griffith's movie called After Many Years, was the dramatic potential of the close-up first exploited. In a scene from After Many Years that we are about to see, pay special attention to Annie Lee's worried face as she awaits her husband's return. In 1908, this close-up shocked everyone in the movie-making world. But Griffith had no time for argument. He had another surprise, even more radical, to offer. Immediately following the close-up of Annie, he inserted a picture of the object of her thought, her husband, cast away on a desert isle. This cutting from one scene to another, without finishing either of them, brought a torrent of criticism on the experimenter. That'll be our next week's topic. Now, let's watch Griffith's After Many Years.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Today I would like to talk about the early days of movie making in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Before the pioneering films of D.W. Griffiths, filmmakers were limited by several misguided conventions of the era. According to one, the camera was always fixed at a viewpoint corresponding to that of the spectator in the theater, a position now known as the long shot. It was another convention that the position of the camera never changed in the middle of a scene. In last week's film, we saw how Griffith ignored both these limiting conventions and brought the camera closer to the actor. This shot, now known as the full shot, was considered revolutionary at the time. For Love of Gold was the name of the film in which we saw the first use of the full shot. After progressing from the long shot to the full shot, the next logical step for Griffith was to bring in the camera still closer in what is now called the close-up. The close-up had been used before, though only rarely and merely as a visual stunt, as, for example, in Edwin S. Potter's The Great Train Robbery, which was made in 1903. But not until 1908, in Griffith's movie called After Many Years, was the dramatic potential of the close-up first exploited. In a scene from After Many Years that we are about to see, pay special attention to the close-up of Annie Lee's worried face as she awaits her husband's return. In 1908, this close-up shocked everyone in the movie-making world. But Griffith had no time for argument. He had another surprise, even more radical, to offer. Immediately following the close-up of Annie, he inserted a picture of the object of her thought, her husband, cast away on a desert isle. This cutting from one scene to another, without finishing either of them, brought a torrent of criticism on the experimenter. That'll be our next week's topic. Now, let's watch Griffith's After Many Years.
Kindy, 课堂欢迎你。